Our gospel reading is found in Luke, the 24th chapter, verses 13 and following, and it's the story of the road to Emmaus. And this is the day of the resurrection, that Sunday. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking, discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him, and he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleophas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem that does not know the things that have happened here in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, the man who was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels and said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow to heart, believe that all the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village in which they were going. He acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So Jesus went in to stay with them. And when he was at table with them, he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while we talked on the road, when he opened to us the scriptures?' And then he rose the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were gathered together, saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, this morning, we're on a journey of faith, the road to Emmaus. I wanted to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this man by the name of Bubba who lived way out in the countryside, and this stray dog kept showing up at his house. And finally, Bubba's wife said, "Listen, you need to take that dog out to the woods and leave him. That's where he lives." And so Bubba got his truck out, and he put the dog in the truck, drove about a mile down the road, and he drove back. And when he drove up in the driveway, there was the dog waiting for him. And so he did this several times, and finally Bubba's wife said, "Listen, Bubba, you got to drive him way out in the country and drive him around in circles till he gets lost and then drop him off." And so Bubba went and got the dog, put him in the truck, and drove, you know, about an hour away, and he drove and crisscrossing roads he'd never seen before, and finally he dropped the dog off. And about 2 hours later, Bubba called his wife and said, "Is the dog home yet?" And she said, "Yeah, here he comes up the driveway." And he said, "Well, do me a favor. Can you put him on the line so he can tell me how to get back?" Well, you know, sometimes we all get lost in life. And I suppose with GPS, we forget what it's like to get lost. And we really appreciate that. I think it's saved a lot of family arguments. But the truth is, there's lots of ways to get lost in life. And this morning, we're looking at a journey of faith in which two individuals were sort of lost along the way of life. And I think it's a beautiful story, one of the most eloquent about meeting Jesus, and I think it's just rich in meeting. And so I want to think about first this Emmaus Road journey of faith. And sometimes we wonder, well, where was Jesus between the appearance at the tomb when he told Mary that he'd come and see the disciples in Jerusalem and when the time that he appeared that evening to the disciples in Jerusalem? And Luke fills in this gap beautifully and tells us what happened. And it's a beautiful story. These two disciples, now they weren't apostles. One was Cleophas, we don't know the other person was. Disciples are just those who believe. Apostles were part of the original 12. And so these were disciples. We just know the name of one, but they were disciples. They were followers of Christ, we're told. These two were walking away from Jerusalem. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because they had been to Jerusalem for the Passover, and then they were followers of Jesus. And they had expected Jesus to conquer Rome and to do amazing things and to bring Israel to the forefront, and a new era was going to begin. And then instead they found that Jesus was crucified and buried in the tomb, and they stayed until Sunday, but then they heard rumors that Jesus had risen, and instead of hanging out, they were so discouraged they left and headed for Emmaus. Now, Emmaus was so small, such a small spot on the road, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. We really don't know much at all about it today. It's one of those places like Round Grove or Badger Grove or something like that. You know, it was just erased from time at a certain point. And if you think about Jesus for a moment, and he's risen from the dead, and the cross is behind him, and the crucifixion is behind him, and all the pain, and the people, key figures like the high priest and the Pharisees and Pilate himself had conspired to crucify him. I mean, why didn't Jesus go to Jerusalem, to the center of things, to the hub like Washington, and confront the rulers and powers and tell them that he had risen? But Jesus doesn't. It's sort of a beautiful story that Jesus heads in the opposite direction that you and I would normally head. Jesus heads not towards Jerusalem, but away from Jerusalem, to this small town. I think the reason he did that was because he knew there were two disciples there who were discouraged and downtrodden and just had given up on faith. In fact, they heard rumors of the resurrection. I mean, I think you and I would have stayed around long enough to see, are those rumors true? But they really had just had it. They had too many disappointments in life and in faith, and so they headed away. And so they're walking along the road, and then Jesus comes up beside them. What a beautiful image, isn't it? They're discouraged. They're heading away from the key, the hub of activity, a long sort of lonely road, and Jesus walks up alongside them. And I think the reason Jesus went there is because Jesus cares about all of us. We're along the road of life, and we're discouraged, and we're despondent, and things haven't turned out the way that you and I would like them to turn out. And Jesus comes alongside these disciples, and Luke wants us to know that this is important because it's almost a paradigm for Luke. Jesus cares enough to go out of his way, away from the center of things, and find us wherever we are in the journey of life. And if we're truthful, each of us, all of us, struggle with some difficulties and doubts and discouragement in life. And so Jesus comes alongside them. And the Bible says that they were prevented from recognizing them. Now, we don't know why that was the case. Maybe they only ever saw Jesus from a distance. We didn't have video cameras like today or anything like that. Or maybe because Jesus was in his resurrected form and God just prevented them from seeing them. Because I think sometimes in our life, God sort of withholds his presence a little bit from us so that our faith is stretched and our faith begins to grow more. We don't know what the reason was, but it certainly turned out that way. And so they're prevented from recognizing Jesus. And so Jesus doesn't just say, listen, you know, here's all the answers. Jesus asks them a question like a great counselor. Jesus says, what's wrong? Why are you sad? Why are you downcast? And they said, are you the only person in Jerusalem who doesn't know what's going on? You know, sometimes in our life, we think that God doesn't know what's going on in our life, don't we? But God is, like Jesus, he's patiently listening to the disciples, and so they begin to say, listen, you know, there's this Jesus. We had all our hopes and all of our faith in him, and we thought that he was going to redeem Israel and put Israel to the front and to conquer Rome and all the powers that have oppressed us, and instead, Rome seemed to conquer him. They crucified him and put him on the cross, and he's dead and he's buried, and we've even heard rumors that he's raised a new life, but we just couldn't buy it. We left and we're on our way. And then Jesus gently begins to talk to them. And it says that Jesus says, you know, don't you understand this is all part of God's plan? And Jesus begins to walk through the scriptures with them from Moses on down through the road. And Jesus, as they walk, begins to explain the scriptures and to fulfill the scriptures and see how all the pieces are put together. And their lives are touched and inspired in such a way that they come to near where they're supposed to be, near Emmaus, this small town, and they ask Jesus to go to the village with them. And so they invite Jesus to sort of a closer walk with them, which I think is a great image in our life too, as we think about how we sometimes invite Christ closer to our life and we see Jesus unfolded in the scriptures and we want to have a closer relationship with him. And so Jesus agrees, and so they sit down at this table in this beautiful image, and Jesus begins to break bread with them, and they say that in the breaking of bread, they recognize Jesus and suddenly he was gone. That's a beautiful image, isn't it? Because you always kind of wonder, well, how do they suddenly recognize Jesus? But it's interesting because in that part of the world, when you break bread, you break bread like this and you hold it out. And so Jesus probably had a robe on, and when he held the bread out, then they could see the nail scars in his wrist where they would have nailed him to the cross. And I think sometimes in our own life, well, we look at Christ and sometimes we just think about him as a prophet. As a great teacher, but really to know Christ in the deepest way is to know him as the risen Lord. And as the risen Lord, he still has his nail-pierced hands because he paid the price. We can know forgiveness and grace in Christ. And in our own life, how have we struggled along the road of life, the journey of faith, because faith and life are so much like a journey, and maybe we're like these disciples, but we think in these two ways. You think about this image of Jesus showing his nail-scarred hands, and also Luke beautifully portrays the image of the Lord's table. We come around the Lord's table, and we break bread, and we think about the risen Christ. And so in the communion table and in reading scriptures and in hearing God's word, we experience Christ as a way that we never would any other way. And I think Luke is doing all this to encourage us in our journey of faith, isn't he? Because there are times in our life where we maybe doubt the resurrection, or we doubt God's plan and purposes, or we don't see how our life is going to change in any kind of a way, and we're just in some far-off place away from the hub of life, and God meets us in a special way. And sometimes God doesn't reveal himself then. God listens to our hearts. And sometimes in the Psalms, when you hear the Psalms, I mean, the Psalms sometimes says, "Where are you, Lord? How long, O Lord, how long will this continue?" And only in that struggle do we see a deeper level of faith, because sometimes it takes us chapter and a series of doubts in our life to really discover a deeper faith in our life. In fact, the great philosopher Kierkegaard said, "You can't really doubt until you believe. It's impossible to doubt until you believe, and doubt takes you to a deeper level of belief." And so in our own journey of life, maybe sometimes you notice in your life how that something happens, something just seems fortuitous, and all of a sudden that God is there in an incredible way in his plan and purposes. And there's a great story about Columbus. He was on his way back to Italy, and he was very disheartened, discouraged, because he had been turned down by asking for money to build ships, and on the way he got very thirsty, and so he stopped at this convent, and there he had a monk who gave him a drink of water, and the monk noticed that he was so discouraged that he asked him what was wrong, and Columbus spilled out this story about how he dreamed that the world was round, and he believed that he could find a new path to richer trades. And interestingly enough, as he poured out his story to that monk later on, it was that monk who intervened before Queen Isabella that he would get the money to take the ships to America. John Calvin was on his way to Italy also, and he had to take a different route between France and Italy because of the war that was going on, and he had to go through Geneva. And in Geneva, he found a man by the name of Farel, and Farel listened to what John Calvin had to say, and John Calvin in Geneva wrote incredible books that started a reformation in that part of the world that changed the world forever. Abraham Lincoln was just tending a store in Salem. And when he was rummaging through the trash, he found a copy of Blackstone's Commentary on Law, and it was that book that he took from the trash and began to read. It inspired his great career in law and on to become the President of the United States through an incredible chapter in our country's history. George Whitefield was a bartender, and he didn't get along with his brother's wife, and so he was so discouraged, he decided that he would go to Oxford University. There at Oxford University, God called him into the ministry to become one of the greatest evangelists of all time. It's amazing how that in our own life, sort of life is a journey, and God meets us in the strangest places, and the pieces begin to put together that we can only look at later on down the line. I love the story of the journeys of faith and life, and I often think of Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, and there's a great image of sort of our life of faith, and this individual by the name of Pilgrim, which we're all sort of pilgrims and journey of life, and Pilgrim doesn't make it easily to the promised land, and nor do any of us. He has to go through the quicksand of despair, and he has to go through the hill of difficulty and the valley of humiliation. He has to do battles, and he sometimes gets lost and has to find his way back, but along the way, he meets faithful and hopeful, and they guide him to the promised land. And through all of that, his faith is strengthened and he becomes stronger in his faith. And I think in our own life, we sort of have this pilgrimage of faith and God meets us along the way. Augustine was one of the great scholars of the Roman Empire. In fact, he was so great that he taught rhetoric and philosophy in Milan, and in fact became so great that he became the speechwriter for the Roman Empire, which is even better than a speechwriter for the President of the United States, clearly. And he became a great student philosopher, but he never really believed in God. He was struggling with that, and his life was sort of a life of debauchery, just sort of perpetual adolescence. And then one day he came out of the storefront, and this little child handed him a little tract and said, "Take and read." And Augustine paused because he was so desperate in life that he began to read that, and all of a sudden God, as he read that Christian tract, touched his life, and he said it's like his heart was strangely warmed. It's not so unlike that story of these disciples on the Emmaus Road, and when their life was changed when Jesus opened God's word to them and began to break bread with them. And then we think about Luther, and Luther was this individual that gave his life to becoming a priest, and he tried to live the best life possible, but he bought indulgences to trying to find God's forgiveness, and he confessed his sins for hours on end, and then he just struggled with that. And then one day he was so upset and so in the pit of despair, he happened to read Psalm 22. You maybe recall the phrase that Jesus said from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And all of a sudden, that changed Luther's life. He realized that Christ had suffered on the cross, the greatest despair of all times, on the cross, and given his life that we could know forgiveness and new life in a powerful and transforming way, and that Christ had experienced every kind of discouragement and doubt, and even more than Luther ever had. And all of a sudden, Luther realized that it wasn't about the works that he did, it was really about faith in Christ alone, and all of a sudden, that changed his life completely as he began to read the verse in Ephesians and Romans, the just shall live by faith. And Luther puts it this way, he says this, I was an impeccable monk. I stood before God as a sinner, troubled in conscience, and I had no confidence that my merits and works would please God. But then I realized that I was right in God's eyes were through faith and not by anything that I could do. And in that instant, I felt myself to be reborn and to have gone through some open doors into paradise. The true faith is faith in Christ alone, and that's where we find salvation. I don't know where you are in your journey of faith today. You might be close to the church and close to the center of faith, and you might feel like you're way away from faith and God could never reach you. But just like these disciples who were headed away from the religious activity and headed away from Christ in many ways and respects, but Jesus met them along the way of life in a way that you would never expect. And I think in the same way, God meets us along the way of life. I'm going to close with one last illustration, and that's of John Wesley. And Wesley in May 24, 1730, had gone through a lot in his life. He was a third-generation priest, and yet he felt that his life really wasn't centered in Christ. He felt that like faith was just sort of an assent to doctrines and creeds and something just in his head. He was a brilliant scholar. At the age of 23, he was a preeminent scholar in Greek and logic. He became the youngest person ever, I believe ever to this day, to be a full professor at Oxford, which is an incredible achievement. And so he was this brilliant young man, and he felt like his life was at an end in some ways. And so he went to this Bible study by these Moravians on Aldersgate Street, and it was there, he just sort of went through the motions, but all of a sudden, as he was there, he says, they began to read Luther's commentary on Romans, and as they did, as he was doing that, he says this, I went very unwilling to a meeting at Aldersgate Street, where one was reading Luther's preference to the commentary on the Epistle of Romans. While Luther was describing the change which God makes in our life through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation, and assurance was given in me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. It so changed his life. He became a great evangelist and, of course, spread the gospel around the world. You know, Augustine said it beautifully. Augustine said, our hearts are restless until they find the rest in thee. And so, think about this morning that imagery of those disciples walking away from Jerusalem. And wherever you are in life, you're not too far that Christ can't come alongside you. Many times we don't see Christ in the events of life, but Christ is there. And also find that you can find Christ in opening the scriptures and in worship and in teaching and in communion. And when you don't think that he's there in a very present way. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, our lives really are a journey of faith, and sometimes we're running away from you, not towards you. But then strangely, you meet us along the way where we would never expect it. And you open your word to us, and you open our eyes to your word and your truth. You touch our hearts and lives in ways that we would never expect. And so we ask you this morning to touch us wherever we are. Meet us. Lift our hearts. Help us to follow you, not just as going through the motions, but as a deep experience where we believe and trust in you, that we not just comprehend your love in our heads, but we experience your love in our hearts. And so touch us this day, each and every day. And may it be a faith and hope and love that we not only allow to change our lives, but we share with others through your power and to your glory. Amen.